Amen. Massive welcome. So good to have you guys here tonight. I'm looking forward to it. We're partway through, but there's still much more good stuff to go. I want to say a massive welcome to those that are here for the first time. Year sevens. So good to have you with us. So very good. And to others from other year levels that are here for the first time, awesome to have you here. And to everyone that's been here before, welcome back. So good to have you here again. So my name is Shane, along with my wife Christy. The two of us are the youth pastors here. And it is our joy and privilege to be involved in introducing people to Jesus and seeing them become more like Him. And it really is all about Jesus. And we're so pumped to be able to represent Him. And we hope that we do that in a way that helps you guys get to know Him better. He has totally changed my life. And He's changed so many other lives in this room. And that is awesome. I want all of us to know Him more. And if you're not in that place, if you don't know Him yet, then be yourself. You don't need to pretend to be something that you're not. Being real and authentic is really important. And so we're not asking you to pretend or put on some kind of act. But it's exciting stuff. Our big verse, our quote from Jesus that we have as like the main thing that we talk about is this one time where He said, "The thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy, but I have come that you may have life and have it to the excess." More than you need, more life than you actually need, an abundance of it, life to the full. That's pretty amazing. If you are in a place where you feel like you've had stuff stolen, you had stuff that's been killed or destroyed, then there's good news. Jesus has come that you may have life. And not just a little bit of life, but life to the full. This is really, really good news. We're going to do a whole bunch of things over the course of this term. But one thing that we do each term is we take a really big topic and we explore it. Stuff that matters to you guys. If Jesus came that we may have life and life to the full, then that means our life is going to be different. There's going to be things that are changed because of that. It impacts on everything. So we just take one big thing at a time and we have a look at it, we unpack it, and you're going to get some gold from the front. So we've got 4 weeks on this topic, which is true friendship. And so myself tonight, we've got Christy next week, and then Chris and Bethany are going to hit us up with some absolute pure gold from the front, but it doesn't just stop there. It's also about the conversations that you have during your small group time, what you chat about during cafe. Like, there's some big questions around friendships, and I hope you wrestle with those things, and I hope you chat with others, because it's not just about what you get from up here, it's about what you get from each other. Your experience, your understanding, your questions will help. Sometimes asking a question is the best thing that you can do, because it makes others think about those things as well. So don't underestimate what you have to give in this. Anyone here ever made a poor friendship choice? Don't look at them. Just like, raise your hand. Anyone made a poor friendship choice? A couple of you have, let's be honest. Anyone perhaps have some room for growth themselves in becoming a better friend? Let's see some of those hands. Then you guys are in luck. We're talking about it over the course of the next few weeks and exploring it, like I said, from the front, but also in small groups. And you don't have to stop. Just because we finish the service time doesn't mean you need to stop talking about this stuff. I encourage you to explore this stuff as you head out into cafe and throughout the week. I'm going to pray. Father, I thank you that you are infinitely wise. I thank you that you are awesome at all relationships. I ask that we would learn from you. I ask that we'd learn from each other. And I ask that we wouldn't just learn stuff, but we would put it into practice. And that everyone would be blessed through that process. In Jesus' name, amen. So I had these two particular friends when I was in high school, both by the name of Stephen. Stephen and Stephen. Love those guys. I didn't meet them till I was in high school, but they met each other in primary school. And I heard this story from the very start of their friendship. So these guys were like best friends, which is a big deal to be best friends after having the kind of incident they did back in their first year of knowing each other. I heard about this incident when I was in year 9, and I came this close to wetting my pants, which is quite ironic when I tell you the rest of the story. So picture this. You've got a reception classroom. You've got those cute little desks, the cute little chairs, and they're in their groups of 4 sitting around their tables. And Stephen are sitting directly opposite from each other. And so the first Stephen, in that moment, they're doing their colouring in, whatever they were doing in that particular day, and he realises that he's just got to go. He doesn't have time to put up his hand and ask the teacher's permission, let alone get himself to the toilet to relieve himself. And so, in a moment of desperation, he did something that I don't know if I'd ever thought of if I was in that situation myself. He took some emergency action. He pulls down his pants and he just lets it flow. So in that moment, you've all been there, maybe not in that exact moment, but you've been there where you're just desperate to go and then the relief and the release just as it comes. So I don't know, I'm picturing he's just, Meanwhile, as luck would have it, the pressure, trajectory, and aim was so precise that it has traveled under the table, not quite touching the table, and landing in the other Stephen's lap. As a 5-year-old, suddenly feeling a bit wet around the crotch, may not be totally unfamiliar. So I'm just picturing the other Stephen just for that moment, like, oh. And then, hang on a sec, something's different. And then looking down and seeing a stream coming towards him and like just standing up. Ah! And then the classic line, he weed on me. The classic thing was, of course, you put yourself in the teacher's position. You've got a kid standing up, soaking wet around this area, probably dripping onto the carpet, making accusations against someone else. It was the other Stephen that got in trouble. First Stephen got off scot-free. Friendship isn't always fun. It doesn't always work out well for us to have friends. Sometimes our friends influence our behavior. Stephen wouldn't have stood up if something else hadn't happened first. He wouldn't have got in trouble if something hadn't been initiated by his friend across the table. I want to put a massive statement out there. And we might even put it up there as well. Your friends will determine the direction and quality of your life. Boom. Whoa, steady up, Shane. Your friends will determine the direction and quality of your life. Let's just have a look at this, unpack this just a little bit and see whether this could be true. So there's this poll from back in the 60s, a group called Gallup put on this poll. It was actually conducted in North America, but definitely some parallels over here in Australia. Top three influences on teenagers' life. Number one, parents. Parents got in there, number one. Number two, teachers. Number three, spiritual leaders, pastors and whatnot. Parents, teachers, and spiritual leaders. Can we get that up on the screen, please, Mash? A few years later, there was another study that was done with teenagers, but it was done in the last few years. In that one, in the 2010s, there we have it, parents, teachers, spiritual leaders. And then in the 2010s, number one, friends. Number two, the media. And parents still get in there with number three. But they've been bumped down the list by media and friends. So if friends are the top influence on teenagers, then that's a pretty big deal. That's something worth exploring about what that means. Friends have a massive impact on you. That's got to be a given. Has anyone here ever chosen to do something stupid because your friends told you to do it? Anyone? I see that hand. A few of us could admit to having done that. I want to put out a few specific things where friendship can actually trump other influences in our life. One of the scariest ones I want to put out there first. Friends often have a greater influence over a teen than the teen's own convictions. Has anyone ever done anything that goes against their convictions because a friend urged you to do it? Anyone ever done anything outside of your own convictions because you were urged to do so by a friend? Thank you to those honest people that have just put up their hands. It affects a lot of us. And it's a pretty widespread phenomenon where, under the right amount of pressure, people will choose to do things that they know are wrong. And it could be that you know it's wrong and then you do it, or it could be that you know that it's right but you don't do it because of the pressure of your friends. Another one, friends often have a greater influence on a teen than their own parents. Some of you are just like, duh, have you seen my parents? Come on, what's going on? Of course I do. But I want you to think about it slightly deeper for a moment. First question is, who has spent more money on you? Who has made more sacrifices for you than your parents? And who has more to gain from your successes and more to lose from your failures than your parents? It's hard to find any other stakeholder that has more to gain or to lose from how your life pans out. Yet, who has chosen to listen to their friends over and above their parents at some point in their life? I see those hands. Thank you for your honesty once again. Your friends will determine the direction and quality of your life. Nobody can compete, not even God. There's another big statement for you. Not even God. Because God does not force his will on you. He allows you to make your own decisions. And so if you're choosing to listen to your friends, then that even trumps God. That's why there's so many camp decisions which are abandoned within a few hours of leaving the campsite. First time you're in that situation again, one of the reasons is that need to fit in and that need for acceptance that often goes along with friendships. Friends have a huge influence on us. So, a couple of big questions for you. Are you establishing healthy friendships? And are you avoiding unhealthy ones? One of my first reactions to this sort of talk is it just sounds like self-preservation and it's all about us. Because if we're just thinking about only having friends that are going to help us to live a better life, what about the people that are hurting that actually need our help? What about them? Are we just saying, no, you can't be my friend because I need to think about me and you're going to take me down the wrong path? Is that the way we need to behave? Certainly we can take this information and go, all right, it's about self-preservation and so I'm going to turn my back on people that actually really need my help. But we are called to love. We are called to prefer other people to ourselves and to put other people as more important than ourselves. So it's not about self-preservation. The thing that I'm talking about is influence. Who are you allowing to influence you? We're going to have a look at a scripture from John chapter 2. It says, but Jesus would not entrust himself to them, for he knew all people. He did not need any testimony about mankind, for he knew what was in each person. So you have Jesus who cares a lot about people. And in his time on earth, he spent so much time with people. He had a whole bunch of friends. But who influenced Jesus? Father and the Holy Spirit. The same people that had influenced him through all eternity were the only ones that actually influenced him in his time on earth. He didn't entrust himself to them. Do you pick up the difference? It's not saying don't hang out with people that need your help, with people that are struggling. It's saying be careful who you allow to influence you. And as soon as you are allowing people to accept you, and there's that sense of we belong together, then it is only natural for them to influence you. The people that you find it easiest to share with, and to talk to about your problems and what's going on. They're the most likely people to influence you because of the trust that's being built through doing that. I'm urging you to consider, who are you doing that with? And are they people who are going to influence you in a positive way or in a negative way? Think about who's in your life and who's influencing you. Friends do change each other. You will become more like those people that you spend time with. Do you want to become more like your current friends? We're going to have a look at Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20. It says, "Walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm." So in that verse, we have a promise and we have a warning. The promise is about growing wise. And you're like, awesome, Shane, that just sounds so boring. That's exactly what I want. I want to be wise. Let's have a look at why you might want to be wise. I've got a whole bunch of verses, and you can look at those later on in your small groups. But we're just going to look at four of them for the moment. So these are all from Proverbs. There's so much about wisdom in the Proverbs. So listen to this and look at it on the screen. "A wise person experiences pleasure and peace as they walk in the way of wisdom. A wise person's path is clear and open. When they walk, nothing will hold them back, and when they run, nothing will make them stumble. A wise person's speech is gracious, and they value and possess a pure heart and mind. Because of this, they shall be friends even with someone as influential and powerful as the king. A wise person who trusts in the Lord will be rewarded with blessing, success, and prosperity." There's a whole bunch of good reasons to seek wisdom. Wisdom changes a lot of things. Grow in that by hanging out with wise people. You might say, "But Shane, you haven't seen my class. It is really, really hard to find wise people in my class." I want to suggest that it is possible. Have you ever got something new, thinking that it was a bit rare and unique, and then it turns out basically everyone has the same thing? Anyone? Anyone? No. Okay. Moving on. So it is possible that you are just so awesome that everyone sees what you have and they copy it and they do the same thing and buy the same thing. Or it could be that you just notice it more because you have it yourself. There is the Bader-Meinhof phenomenon, which you probably know that already. So it's caused by two psychological processes, the first being selective attention. You hear something new, it might be a new word, a new thing, a new idea, and after that, you unconsciously keep an eye out for it, and as a result, you find it surprisingly often. The second process is confirmation bias, which basically reassures you that each sighting is further proof of your impression that the thing has gained overnight omnipresence. It's everywhere. Once we become aware of something, we start to notice a lot more. Once you start to go, "Oh, I want some wise friends," you start to notice the people who are wise around you, the ones that are actually making good choices, the ones that are actually pursuing their relationship with God and trying to grow in that area. But they can be hard to spot. So you have to want to look beyond the surface to see it. It's kind of like spotting an owl, wisest of all birds. Spotting an owl can be very hard, but for a bird watcher, it's no worries at all. See them easily. I've only ever seen one owl. I was driving along with a friend at night, and then we see something on the road, and we hear this little doom. And then I turn to him, and I'm like, "Was that an owl?" And he said the same thing at the same time. So sometimes owls make bad decisions, but that's pretty rare, when I've just gone totally off script. You want to find those wise friends that are going to help you. So there is a warning in there as well. So there's a promise: if you walk with the wise, you will become wise. But there's also a warning in there. And the warning says that you will suffer harm. A companion of fools will suffer harm. It doesn't say that a fool would suffer harm in this verse. It says a companion of fools. It doesn't matter if you're a fool or not. If you're hanging out with people that are fools, then you will come to grief. there will be things that go wrong because of their foolishness. A common argument to this is, I don't do what they do, I just want to be where they are. So I might go to the parties, but I'm not getting involved in the stuff that they're getting involved in. It's fraught with danger. There's so much stuff that's going on in those environments that is unhelpful. We are acceptance magnets. We are drawn to people that accept us. And so while you might have an idea of, I want friends that are like this, that have this quality and that quality and the other, we are drawn to people that accept us. So those lists don't often come into it, and we just find ourselves in friendships rather than actually picking people. Acceptance leads to influence. You will be influenced, and you will influence others. My encouragement to you is that you pick who is influencing you, and you seek to use the influence that you have over others for good stuff. Jesus was able to walk around in some pretty rough crowds. He was able to be with some people that should have drawn him away from his mission, but because he was only influenced by the Father and the Spirit, he was able to walk in those environments. The best friendship of all is, of course, that friendship that we can have with Jesus, the amazing opportunity that we have to be with him and to learn from him and to grow in him. You have examples in the Bible of guys like Abraham, who was called a friend of God. You had Moses, who talked with God face to face as a man talks with his friend. And then those specific examples in the Old Testament get opened right up to everyone in these times, the New Testament and onwards. So we have access to friendship with God. Jesus calls his followers friends. He says, I no longer call you servants, but I call you my friends. And he lets us in on what he's doing. We get to be influenced by him, but we need to choose him. We need to take the opportunity that is there before us. I'm going to pray. Father, thank you so much for what Jesus has done for us. I want to thank you for the opportunity that we have for friendship with you. I want to thank you for the things that you have set up in our life and the people that you have put in place that take care of us, that love us. I pray, Lord, that each one of us here would help those around us, those that are struggling, those that are hurting. But Lord, we would choose very carefully who influences us, and we would be primarily influenced by you. In Jesus' name, amen.